about the recording. Okay, so tonight is the 7th March, 2019, Thursday class. We will now get ready for puja. Let us compose our mind, develop the faith, the sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja. Before that, we rejoice with the offering, rompang. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Christina, you can make your offer also. You can offer over here. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Guan Sing Pusa. Namo Guan Sing Pusa. Namo Guan Sing Pusa. Namo Milo Fo. Namo Milo Fo. Namo Milo Fo. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you can be seated and turn the page 1 of your chanting book. We shall chant from the bandana onward. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato sama sambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami. Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapada samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapada samadhiyami. Sumichachara viramani sikkhapada samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapada samadhiyami. Suramiraya majapamadatana viramani sikkhapada samadhiyami. Now we will chant the padipa puja offering of light. Ganna sarapa ditena dipena tamadang sina tiloka pang sambuddang pujayami tamonudang ganda sambarayutena dopena hang sugang hina pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bhajana mutamang vanna kanda guno petang etang kusuma santatin pujayami munindas siripada sarorohe pujemi buddhaṃ kusumena nena punnena matena ca hotu mokaṃ pupaṃ milayati yatā idaṃ me kāyo tatāyati vināsa bhāvaṃ ādivāsetu nobante Paniyang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang Adivasetu nobante Pale parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang Adivasetu nobante Bojanang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang Now we will chant the puja on aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or power, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect, Tripaja. Bật đăng bức chế rễ mê. Đà mang bức chế rễ mê. Sáng hăng bức chế rễ mê. Okay, you all can be seated. Then we can have half an hour of silent meditation. For those who already know how to meditate, you can just proceed. Then for those who still need to stabilize your whatever mindfulness, you can do it. Then, if there is still people who need to develop the deconditioning of their heedless thinking, then they can also do it. So you train your mind according to your understanding. Okay, feel off the light. Then after that, I already set the alarm. After half an hour, the alarm will ring. The key to meditation is the four support. Always remember, relax, silence everything, and just maintain awareness. That's it. Whatever heedless thinking or whatever mind state that arises, just let it be. It will settle down. So you can maintain the understanding, free the mind. No need to get involved. Just be a silent mind that is just aware. Then the meditation will progress accordingly. So you no need to really do anything. What you need to distinctly understand is the mundane mind and the true mind. The mundane mind is the thought, the thinking. Whenever you use that mundane mind, you will not be mindful anymore. You are already creating thinking, thought process. So that will make you lost in thought. So you just silence everything. Maintain awareness. Then that silence will result in the true mind arising when there is no more mental activity to stir that mind. Then use that silent mind to meditate. Whatever mind state that arises, relax into it. After you relax, maintain that awareness. Then maintain it for as long as you can. Finally, when you already know how to meditate, the last thing you have to do is trust. Trust the nature to develop the meditation. Don't interfere with your thinking or the thought process. Okay, now I will let you meditate on your own. Okay. Slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Then turn to page 6. We will do the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakravalisu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakkamokkhadang Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Veja charana sampanno sugato kavido anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Satta deva manusanang Buddho bhagavati Vira. Svakato bhagavata dhammo Sanditiko akaliko ehipaseko opanayiko pacatang vitabo vinohiti supatipanno bhagavato Vakasangho Ujupatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Samichipatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Yadidam chatari purisa yukani Atta purisa pugala Tesa bhagavato savakasango Huneyo pahuneyo dakineyo Anjali karaniyo anuttarang punyaketang lokasati sadhu 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 Okay, let us pay respect to Triple Gem. Betang Pujayami. Damang Pujayami. Sanghang Pujayami. Okay, you can be seated. Then we will continue with our second session. Okay, second session is meditation reporting, followed by whatever question that you may want to ask. You can ask whatever that is regarding the meditation or the Dhamma. And also the last aspect is how we can make... Is it on or off? How we can make use of this Dhamma that we have studied to help us develop the understanding of life and use it to apply it in daily life so that you can understand life and live the beautiful life. And whatever you encounter in life, it is just the reality of the moment. If you have the Dhamma, you will know how to attend to it. But for people who are heedless, who don't have the Dhamma, they will have problem. Then they develop the negativity of mind, the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, they will rise. Then they call this problem. The reason being, they perceive life without understanding. When they perceive something with negativity, with fear, this negativity of mind state arise. But you have the Dhamma, everything become normal, natural. Then you just live, and life will become very different. When you have that clear understanding of life, life become beautiful, meaningful, and you can live life with a lot of joy, happiness, understanding. Then everything is just beautiful. Then you can experience life beautifully. All of the pristine beauty and wonders of life will fall into place. So this is the beauty of the teaching. We call it the Buddha Dhamma because it has such power. So as Buddhist or follower of the Buddha, we should really count our good blessing and we should cherish this beautiful teaching that he has given us. Then we should strive on with heedfulness and develop the understanding of it, cultivate it well, so that it is conducive for all, for the many, and even your loved one, yourself, and humanity as a whole. Okay, now I will let you report your meditation and ask whatever question you have. Yeah, Angie.
Hey, Brother Teo. While we practice meditation, the learning of relaxation is very profound because it helps us to help, at least it helped me to, you know, to see that the mind and body can move as one.
Yeah, and, very important, yeah. Yes.
And then there's not less tension.
Yeah, because when you know how to relax, you know how to be at peace. You know how to develop a mind that is at ease. When you are not relaxed, means what? You have problem. Understand? When you have problem, you are very tense. You are not relaxed. Then this problem creates fear, worry, anxiety. That's why you will release that type of negative energy hormone and tense you up. And you are not happy. You are not peaceful. That's why all this will come in when you don't know how to relax. The other danger of not understanding the importance of relaxing into every mind state that arises, you will go wrong in your meditation. If you don't relax, chances are you will build up the concentration, the energy, the thought-based energy. Because a lot of people, without them realizing it, they tend to focus and concentrate when they meditate. And when they do this, the energy will build up. Then when energy builds up, you are in a conditioned state without you knowing it. Then you cannot relax. The free mind cannot come about. Then your mind is a conditioned mind. And that mind will deviate. It will not develop the correct meditation. It will not allow you to develop the wisdom needed for you to understand who are you, what are you, and to develop the ability to see things clearly. The Buddha called it seeing things as they are, jnana dasana, the direct knowledge and vision of the reality. So when you have this ability to see things as they are, with having the direct knowledge and vision of the reality, then that is truth. That is understanding Nietzsche's law. Then you will know how all these Nietzsche's law, they are the one that governs all of life and existence. So when you understand them, you understand life, because the secret of life lies in understanding all these Nietzsche's law that governs life and existence. That's why we call them truth, Nietzsche's truth. So when you understand truth, you understand the Dhamma, because the Dhamma is basically truth itself. That's why the Buddha teaches the Dhamma, means teaches truth, Nietzsche's truth. Yeah. So Dhamma are very beautiful in its meaning. Everything is Dhamma. Nothing is apart from Dhamma, because everything that arises, there are Nietzsche's law, causes and condition behind. And this is what the reality is. This is what truth is. So Dhamma is everything that arises following Nietzsche's law. So when you have the Dhamma, you will understand the Nietzsche's law. Then you will not make mistakes. You will not violate them. You will know how to accord and flow. You will know how to arise at appropriate, beautiful, appropriate condition for good life, for wholesomeness. That's why you are incapable of negativity, because no more delusion, no more ignorance. So that particular support, the first one, relax, is very important. So let us write it down. Huh? So the four support, got caught inside there. No, help me. No need that one. Help me lift up this one. Oh, okay. Yeah. So the four support, they are all here. One, relax. Two, aware. Three, maintain it for as long as you can. That's why I put there 24 hours. So number four is trust. Trust your nature. Means don't allow the thought to interfere. Yeah? So this first support, relax, is very important. So this one relaxes, relax into every mind state that arises. When you are able to relax, you are at ease. So, you are, sorry. At ease. There is no tension, there is no tightness. There is no stress within. So relaxation is most important, is key to developing the real meditation, to understand clearly. The relaxed mind will lead to the free mind. When the mind is relaxed, you don't focus. You don't concentrate, you don't suppress, you don't do anything with the thought. When you do all this, the thought is involved. So when the thought is involved, when you are not relaxed, you are very tense. When you are very tense, is you stress yourself out without knowing it. Then the possibility of you focusing and concentrating or doing all those thought-based meditation to suppress your thinking and all those things, like one-pointedness, absorption, meditation, then most people, because they don't know how to allow their mind to settle down and develop the natural state of peace within. So this mind that is heedless, think a lot, wanders off very fast. They find it very irritating, it's very restless, heedless. That's why it gives them problems. So what they do is they go and concentrate and focus so that the mind doesn't run. In order to keep the mind quiet and still, they need to use energy field. So they will focus and they will concentrate. That's why they will teach you all the method and technique to focus the mind, to concentrate the mind, to use it to anchor the mind so that the mind cannot run. Then they will ask you to verbalize. So when you verbalize, you focus on one word. Then this mind become like forced into concentration. That's how you develop that concentration. That concentration that you develop will develop energy field, and that one is not samadhi. The real samadhi is the collected and unwavering mind, which is a free mind. It's not a concentrated mind without energy field. So this part is very important. So you are right, Anji. So you can understand this, means you start to understand the importance of the first step to relax into every mind state during meditation. Then there is a very strong support. When you are relaxed, the natural state of mind will come back. Then the second support, awareness, will arise. This awareness is already there when you don't think. Always remember, without thought, you are already aware. Can follow? I better write it down. So you don't have to do anything to be aware. Note. Without thought, you are already aware. So you don't have to do anything to be aware. You just have to relax and allow the mind to settle down. Sigh. By itself. The reason you can do that is because you understand the natural state of mind before your heedless thinking, before your stirring or thought process is actually stillness, without thought, silent. So the reason why you cannot realize that state is because you use that mind to create thought throughout the day, because you think a lot. So human being, living being, they are a creature of thought. So I remember when I was in Form 5, then going to Form 6, I wrote this essay. That's why my teacher put a remark, rather deeply thought out. So I straight away I start. I say, living being is a creature of thought, especially human being think a lot. At that time, I still don't know what the real meditation is. But I already knew that I think a lot, human being think a lot. But because of my past, I have clarity of mind because I can study very well. I can concentrate on my study. It means my mind, if I wanted to do something, it will just do that thing. It will not get distracted. It will not become sleepy and all those things. Oh, I don't know why. I was born with that quality. That's why when I came, I can do all those things. Yeah. So this mind, is very, very important before you have the understanding and the wisdom. You have no control over this mind. You don't know how to use this mind unless you have developed it from the past. That's why when I was young, I was naturally quiet, silent. Until the age of 5, I hardly talked. My grandmother thought I was dumb, so he was so worried for me. Only 6 years old, I remember my mother told me, I start to say a few words. But my parents, my father and my mother, they are not worried for me. Where they see me, they know I am normal. I am very cute, very innocent, although very quiet. Then they can see in me a lot of joy and all those things. Then very, very cute, they say, very cute. So this is what the cultivator who has developed them, when they come, their form and mind is different. And the way they go about living life is also different. There's a lot of things that happen to my this life, form and mind, the segmental life is very unique. That's why if you really have the condition one day, if you have the ability to maybe together we do it, you write a biography about my life. I tell you, it's going to be very, very rich and very fantastic. Because a lot of things that happen, people cannot understand and it's not normal. Okay, so this part is very important. Without thought, you are already aware because our natural state of mind before we create thought is already the meditative state, the silent mind, the stillness, the awareness. It's just aware. Nothing inside there. The only problem is, since birth until now, the only instrument you know you have is your thought. That's why you think the mind is the thought. The thought is actually the mundane mind. So this one will make you understand. We better write it down. So always remember, thought equal mundane mind. That's like this mundane mind, you sometimes call it the thinking mind. So thinking mind is also the mundane mind. Thinking mind. Or the dependent originating mind, conditioned arising mind. So these are all the terms that we use. Conditioned arising. And dependent originating mind. So you have to learn all this, and when you understand all this, meditation become very easy. I realize people's problem is they don't know that we have two types of mind. One is the mundane mind, the thinking mind, the dependent originating mind or conditioned arising mind. That's why this one follows dwelling, understand? The other one is your true mind, your silent mind, your true nature. That one is never born, eternal nature. Because it's never born, it never get old, it never get sick, it never die. Can follow? So when you understand these two minds, you will know how to meditate. So meditation is very simple. If I know this mundane mind is dependent originating, created, manifested from the true mind, so I don't have to do anything. I just have to silence. Relax here, maintain awareness is the second support. And here, I put here, or silence your mind without thought. So the moment you silence your mind without thought, you already aware, understand? Not? The second support is already there. So this is what I mean here. Without thought, you are already aware. So this one is a very important understanding. When you say aware means relax, silent, don't do anything. And when you silent, everything will slow down and cease. That's why you will return to your original state of mind. And basically, this is the real meditation. Then why are you wasting your time doing all those things that people tell you without understanding? You look at the Buddhist community, the world of meditation. How much technique they use, how much what they call meditation object they use, then all the instruction. And all this doing are by your thought. When your thought is actively doing, how can you go back to your original state? The true mind. You cannot realize the true mind. So the moment you are without thought, your true mind arises. Okay, so the moment you are without thought, without thought. Your true mind arise. You remember at the Heart Sutta class or not? One of the chapter where we discuss about Fo Yen Chang Lao, the misleading teacher, the late teacher who passed away earlier on. So Fo Yen Chang Lao wrote two very, very good stanza, Dhamma stanza, and he gave it to Miss Li in Mandarin. Miss Li cannot understand. I asked me, I said, this is so beautiful. I say, who wrote this? Then he said, his teacher. You know what his teacher wrote or not? Who know how to write? But must really come and write the Mandarin word. Right over here. Use red color. He said, 无念就是真心,动念就是无明. You understand? Wu nian, without thought, that is the true mind. Dong nian, when there is mental activity or movement, that is the mundane mind. And there is delusion, you see. That's why they always use the word qi xing, dong nian. How many of you don't know Mandarin? Oh, you all don't know Mandarin. Qi xing means when you arise the mind. The word heart and the mind, like I explained under understanding the heart and the mind, the Mandarin use the same word, understand? Xing is also heart, xing is also mind. So qi xing means when the mind arises, it creates mental activity. Dong is movement, dong nian. Qi wu ming, that is ignorant, delusion. And it's so beautiful. So can see at the back. Can see or not? Wu nian si zhen xing. Dong nian qi wu ming. So these two stanzas, Miss Lee took and asked me, you know, and I English educator, you know, I don't know Mandarin, you know, but the moment I read it, because I understand, I said, this is beautiful. And this is actually the Dhamma. The moment you are without thought, you are ready, yeah, the true mind is there. The moment you are without thought, so this part is equivalent to this one. Wu nian, 就是真心. This one refers to the heedless thinking mind, the deluded mind. So if you can understand this, you will understand meditation, and you will know how to develop the meditation very well, and you will progress very fast. But this is the real meditation. And the moment you can do this, you develop the true mind. And when you stabilize that, you develop samadhi. And your daily mindfulness all will fall into place. They will come about. That's why this meditation is so simple. It's so beautiful. But you all find it so difficult to understand. And you know all the while I've been teaching this, but you all cannot absorb it and take it because you are so conditioned. Because you say no book write about this, isn't it? And you haven't heard about this. But now with your ability to understand, you will start to understand. This is basically what meditation is, and it's so easy. Is it difficult to learn how to relax? By NG, no. He said it's very deep in its meaning. This word, very simple word, relax, but it's very deep. A lot of cultivators, after they manage to progress, they always come and talk to me, what do I do, like that, now I'm like that. I say, you still need to relax. What do I relax really well? I say, you still need to relax, not relax yet. You still got a lot of things inside there. That's why you still got a lot of questions. When you are truly relaxed until no more thought, then there is nothing inside there to talk about. Then it's only understanding. When there is understanding, there is no question. You understand? But when you are not truly relaxed, you got a lot of things inside there. That's why you still got questions. But don't get me wrong. You are free to ask questions. Don't, because I say that you dare not ask. Question is needed when you need to understand. But don't make it into a habit. When you make it into a habit means you are not serious about investigating to find the answer yourself. Means every time you feel like asking, you just ask. You want answer. You will never learn if you do that. When answer is given, you must reflect. contemplate. Don't accept what I say, just like the Buddha told Sariputta. He said, Sariputta's approach is correct. Because there was one incident, the Buddha taught something new. And he asked the monk, do you understand? Then he asked Sariputta. Sariputta replied, no, I don't understand. And he is foremost in wisdom, no. And he said he don't understand, no. So all the other monks thought he very rude, no. And you know what the Buddha answered? He said, that should be the correct approach. When he doesn't understand, he will tell you he doesn't understand. What is wrong with telling the truth? Not just because you think I'm your teacher or I'm your guide, you have to follow and accept everything I say. No, because he has not investigated into that truth. That's why he cannot agree or accept what the Buddha said. But the moment he realizes it, when he put it to test, then he will say, yes, I agree. Then there is another incident about this layman. You heard about that story, right? I think I shared with you all at the Heart Sutta. I hope I can remember what it is. Chitta, you remember? That lay person, Chitta. He was an anagami during the Buddha's time. Okay, now I think now I can remember how the... It's in the sutta. It is not from me. You see, this lay person, Chitta, he heard about the Buddha. And he was really, really gifted because of his past. Then just from hearing the teaching from the disciple of the Buddha, those monks that come, then he listened, he learned, and he was full of joy. That's why he respected the Buddha a lot. But initially, before he met the Buddha, before he heard the Buddha's teaching, he was learning under another monk who is also very famous in his hometown. So this monk initially has Chitta support. Chitta supported him. Because Chitta, the lay person, he is very wealthy too. He has a lot of what they call wealth, and he is also wise. That's why people follow him and respect him. So what happened was, one day after Chitta heard about certain truth, then realized that this teaching comes from Sakyamuni. So he went to meet up with Sakyamuni. Then he didn't attend the first teacher's Dhamma sharing or whatever, like before already. So people start to ask, how come Chitta nowadays didn't appear, didn't come to your class? So this teacher still not enlightened. He was actually inside, full of unhappiness and jealousy. So he tried to convince Chitta to come back to him. Yeah. Then somehow he couldn't. Then one day he saw Chitta coming. He was full of joy. Straight away he told all his disciples, come, gather. He said, Chitta is here, he is back. So Chitta actually want to help him, want to awaken him. So he came back. So when he came back, Chitta greeted him, paid the respect as usual. Then that first teacher, he was so arrogant, he thought now Chitta come back. He tried to say something. Then he say something about the Buddha's teaching, where he also must have heard it. He said, this mind, it's like a fish, where you can throw in the net and catch that thing. Something along that line, I can't really remember the footing. Then he asked Chitta, you agree? You know Chitta say what? No, I don't agree. And he was so happy. See, Chitta also don't agree. Then after he say all those things, Chitta corrected him. I don't agree because I don't have to believe. Oh, sorry, the word was, do you believe? You believe him. He said, I don't believe. And after he finished, Chitta commented. He said, oh teacher, I don't believe doesn't mean I don't understand. I have realized that teaching, that truth, that the mind is like that. That's why I don't have to believe him. Straight away, that teacher was so embarrassed. Then after that, he like tried to defend himself. And it seemed he get into an argument with Chitta. Yeah. Then Chitta didn't really argue with him. He said, actually, Chitta wanted to help him. Chitta said, if I say I don't believe, it doesn't mean that I don't believe his teaching. Because I don't have to believe. Because that thing he already realized, anasana, that teaching, that truth. He said that mind is like that. So, because of that, that famous, what they call, Jataka, not Jataka story, that famous story that was recorded in the scripture is very beautiful. Means, don't believe anything. If you hear it for the first time, investigate into it, put it to test. Then when it stands up to truth, you realize it, you don't have to believe anymore. Belief will not free your mind. You have to awaken to it, realize. Then it's unshakable, that understanding. Okay? So basically, tonight, there were some very good conditions. So we should thank Angie. Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So the first step, relaxation, connect everything up. When you know how to relax, you will know how to progress along the path of meditation. Because relaxation is key. Everything needs this support. If you cannot relax, your mind cannot be a free mind. Then it cannot have that ability to return to its original state of stillness, of tranquility. The mind that is without thought, in stillness, tranquility, a free mind, that is your true mind. So straight away, like Hui Ning's teaching, the three hallmark. This understanding of meditation will take you direct to the true mind. So Hui Ning's three great hallmark, which is the same as the Diamond Sutta. That's why when we visited China, the Six Patriarch Way place, almost most of the temple we go, we are able to see this writing down there. I remember that time Ying Bi was with us. So I point it out to Ying Bi. I know how to read the few Mandarin words. Wu Nian, Wu Xiang, Wu Zhu. So the first hallmark is no thought. So no thought means that is your true mind. And without realizing that true mind, you cannot understand truth. You cannot meditate at all. That's why you have to go there straight away. So when he takes you to the true mind, you bypass all the thought-based meditation. You understand? You don't have to do all those verbalization, noting, method, technique. I already explained it. You have to do that because your spiritual faculty is not there. You understand? The mental hindrance are there. That's why the mental hindrance create heedless thinking, create the mental hindrances. And these mental hindrances, they will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. So that's the reason why the mind think a lot. So what they do? They have to use method and technique to anchor the mind, to focus the mind so that it doesn't run. But the Buddha teach you anapanasati is not to focus and not to anchor. What is anapanasati? Mindfulness of the in and out breath. He give you an object of meditation, yes, but use it to develop mindfulness. That's why that is different. That one is not focusing, not concentrating. So when you are mindful and aware without thought, like we went through last Thursday, the seven factors of enlightenment, what happened? When you are aware, mindful, without thought, you will experience joy, isn't it? Pity, isn't it? And this pity and joy is another enlightenment factor. That's why once you have sati, you investigate the Dhamma, then you stand up to investigation, your faith is very strong. Then it will drive you to practice, to cultivate. That's why the third enlightenment factor, which is virya, will arise. And when virya arises, you become very serious in your cultivation. Your sati stabilizes. That's how you experience piti. Then you're supposed to relax into it. Like I mentioned and explained in the video recording the previous week, I think. The seven factors of enlightenment. Yeah. When you relax, aware, don't do anything, then the piti will become more and more refined until it accumulates into sukhang. Then after that, you continue to relax. What happens? The mind becomes very quiet. Your breath also becomes very quiet. Your rising and falling or whatever object of meditation becomes very quiet, very subtle, like no movement. That is the time the mind enters sati. And when the mind enters sati, that is pasati. That is tranquility of mind, stillness of mind. It's just aware, no thought, nothing. That's how you meditate. And that's how the enlightenment factor comes about. Then after that, you stabilize it, it becomes samadhi. Then with sati, samadhi, and pasati, you can see things as they are. You keep on understanding. You keep on awakening. And that is basically what meditation is. So this way, it takes you direct to the silent mind, the true mind. The first hallmark of Huining and the Diamond Sutra teaching. That's why you progress very fast. No need to do all those things. So like this life, this segmented life when I came, nobody taught me, but I know how to do it. And after I do it, then I realize what sati is. What meditation is. Not what the book says, not what the so-called teacher or guide or monk that tell me. No, not of all those. Then I realize, if that is the case, how to teach people? You understand? Because people are so familiar with the traditional method, technique, and vipassana, especially vipassana. Oh, they say that particular method is vipassana. You don't do that particular method, it's not vipassana. So we have all those conditioning within the cultivator. That's why it's not easy for them to open up their mind, to listen attentively, to receive new understanding and try it out. Investigate into it. If you can do that, you will progress very fast. But now I realize your understanding is there. The consciousness has become very different. And this way of explanation is very clear. And do you realize every class now, whether Tuesday or Thursday or Sunday, is all centered on understanding now. And it's the different approach to develop the understanding. So that you see it very, very clearly. Like citta, no more doubt. Don't have to believe me anymore. Understand? Just do. Then you realize the thing. That's why I say this retreat, if you do it with understanding, you progress very fast. And your mind will become very different, I tell you. Then after that, your daily mindfulness automatic just come in like that. Oh. Then when you return to your normal life, you become so different. Your daily mindfulness becomes so different. Your sati sampajana becomes so clear. Throughout the day, sati is with you. You are in that state of heedfulness, awareness. Then the Buddha, under Dhammapada, verse 21 day, 223, guarantee you enlightenment. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless, the Buddha said. The heedful never die. Whereas if you are heedless, you cannot be heedful in the midst of life. You are as if dead. And the heedless are as if dead. So heedlessness is the path to the dead. And the heedless are as if dead. Very clearly explained by the Buddha. Then Dhammapada verse 22 give you further assurance. So verse 22 we say the wise one, they were determined on heedfulness because they know this is very important. So they, when they determine and tend toward heedfulness, the Buddha say they will realize. They will be. What is the following word? They will rejoice in the. They will rejoice in the rhyme. Of the Arya means. All your good friend are Arya. That's all. You are in that rhyme. That's all. Then Dhammapada verse 23. Define what heedfulness is. He said, the constantly meditative, ever mindful, and steadfast one, you hold on to these two cultivations, which is heedfulness, you will realize the supreme, born-free Nibbana. 100% confirmed. Yeah. So what is ever mindful? Means, mindfulness develop until very stable, until you are ever mindful throughout the day. Then you use it to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. That's why constantly meditative means constantly cultivating Noble Eightfold Path. Starting with the three right view. When your right view is there, the right view will condition the right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood, and you won't go wrong. And the four right effort in the correct direction. That's how you will develop your sense restraint. The three way of right conduct. Then your daily mindfulness and support. Sati Sampajana become very easy. Then the 10 step in the Avijja Sutta, all you fulfill very fast. You will realize the enlightenment, the awakening. True knowledge leading to enlightenment. So all these, they are all connected. Can follow? Sadhu. Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu. So first phase is understanding. It is very important. When you understand very clear, then you move into cultivate very fast. You progress. Without this understanding, I tell you, you don't know where to start. You agree? Without me explaining all this, you don't know where to start. What have you been taught? Go retreat. They teach you how to sit. All the method, technique, then after they walk, then note, then of course the religious routine, the chanting and all those things. But apart from that, did they explain anything to you? Why do you do all those things? They say do. One day you will become enlightened. But you never investigate, you never inquire, you never find out. By doing all those things, how can I realize enlightenment? It's no different from people telling what? Certain type of religion. Yeah. If you believe that religion, that when you die, you will be promised eternal heaven. Isn't it? How to prove it? Cannot. And you want to believe? To me, I will not waste time on those things. Things that I cannot realize and understand, I don't want to touch. I have an open mind. I also don't want to shut it off. Because how can it be that way? If it's that way, then no need to do good, no need to cultivate, no need to develop the mind. Just believe. So easy. You go through the ceremony of baptize, donate every month. How many percent? 10% after tax of your salary. And then you become a full-fledged. They give you a certificate also, I think, if I'm not wrong. Or they recognize you on the register book. Then, you can do all the evil in the world, and yet you are promised eternal salvation when you die. Whereas a holy guy, a very pious religious guy, who do everything correctly, Never have any negativity or action, speech and thought. Just because he never take the religious labor when he die, he has to suffer in eternal hell. So if you have the common sense, you will know. Just follow the Kalama Sutta that the Buddha mentioned. If you follow what they tell you to do, does it harm you? Does it harm others? It harm you in your pocket, big hole. Then also it harm you in the sense that you don't know what is happening. It create more delusion. Then everything doesn't seem to fit in. So a lot of these things, we need to use our own intelligence, our own understanding to investigate, to reflect. Then don't be gullible. Don't be greedy. Gullible and greedy means easily influenced by what people tell you. Like just now in the car when we come. So they saw something. Oh, they say, wow, gratitude, tour. That place so special. When I go in and meditate 1 hour, wow, like can have magic and all those things. I say, if so easy, then you no need to cultivate. Take a flight there and try to get somebody influential to help you to go in and sit for, no need 1 hour, 4 hours, better still. It depends on your cultivation. If you don't cultivate, you think you go and sit near the Buddha, you can become enlightened? You understand? And the Buddha is a living one, though. You will not get enlightened if you don't do your own work. The Buddha already said, you have to walk the path yourself. You have to realize the enlightenment yourself. He can only show you the way. So all this greed for energy, special thing, what for? If you don't cultivate, nothing will happen, I tell you. If you don't take care of karma, nothing will happen to your life. You won't improve your life. You cannot depend on all this, understand? So when you are gullible, you tend to believe. Then you say, oh, maybe true, you know. Buy insurance, at least I believe that religion, just in case that one is true, I won't miss the boat. So your mind becomes like that, understand? So there is greed behind, because you have fear, you're scared. But when you investigate and you have that clear understanding, then you straight away will not be gullible. It's just like the sotapan. The moment they become sotapan, you tell them after you die already, you may go to hell or you may, he look at you and he say, you don't understand. Well, he understand. He know me, he know you. After die, what is that? That rebirth consciousness is never him. And you cannot tell him this and that because anatta, he understands very clearly. That's why he is no longer gullible and deluded. And he will not, like other people, become gullible. Then you're scared or out of fear. Oh, like that. Means what must I do? You pay, I do this ceremony for you. Then after that, you die already, you will not go down there. It's just like a lot of those. Last time Reverend Suwano used to say that in Penang, I think he kena a lot of bombardment from the people there. Because he tell these people the Buddhist principle, which is really good and true, no need to pay for all those rite and ritual type of, they call it, I don't know what. Sai Kong, please don't quote me, I get into trouble. So if you have the Dhamma, you don't have to resort to all those things, understand? Because that thing, if they can change your life, then no need to cultivate. What changed your life is karma. Take care of karma, then everything will be taken care of. So the word gullible, which is a very deep meaning word, you have to learn. Because a lot of cultivators initially, you are very gullible. You are easily swayed by the words. And behind it is greed. And that greed comes from the fear. Fear of losing out. Kiasu. Understand? Kiasu. The meaning is like that. So gullible means you easily influenced by what people tell you. everything you hear, have an open mind, investigate, find out. So like this one, now the teaching is so clear, so easy to understand. And that mind, which is the free mind, corresponds to all the Mahayana teaching. Even the Theravada teaching is also matched. Except that the Theravada teaching is the handful of leaf only, understand? So the Buddha didn't go in so deeply. That's why you look at the Theravada teaching. Did they teach you the true mind? They never teach you that. Did they teach you the mundane mind? They also didn't really teach you that. They just tell you namarupang. Correct? No? And what is namarupang? Those of you who cannot understand the five areas of form and mind, the two aspects of it. So these are the teaching that is missing. But during the time of the Buddha, the disciple can understand him because he was sharing all these things with them for 45 years. Do you understand? Right now, maybe most of you came to know about me, the Subang group, later. You only came in the year 2009 or 2008 onwards. But the first batch came to me, Yun Chan Deo, Stephanie Deo, 2004. Yeah. So let's say 14 to 15 years. You have learned so much, isn't it? True or not? So a lot of things when we talk, when we discuss, like five degrees of form and mind, you know I know. Understand? No need to go back to like kindergarten, understand, to explain. So what you receive in the sutta is actually the almost the 40 over years of sharing. So to them, we have no writing. How to commit? No recording, no video, nothing. So what can they do? They repeat through chanting. And chanting can only capture the words. And the words are subject to interpretation. That's why all the truth and the meaning is gone. Understand? Especially words. If I pass to you, let's say Joseph, then I ask you to repeat to the next 10. By the time you reach the 10 guy, all different already. But you put it in a piece of paper, write it down, then I read to you, then I pass the paper to you, then you read and pass, and then you will not get wrong. Understand? Yeah, everybody has the same paper. That time writing also don't have. That's why they use chanting, which is very good. So the Theravada chanting are very authentic. The words are correct, but the meaning subject to a lot of interpretation. That's why the true teaching is not there anymore. Yeah. Difficult to find, not to say really not there, difficult to find. So when you understand all this, then you appreciate when you have the condition to receive beautiful teaching. What have you got to lose? At the most is some time to investigate into this, to try this out. Understand? Having an open mind, is it so difficult? So that all your previous conditioning and belief system doesn't come in and interfere. Otherwise you find it very difficult to learn. You understand? Because your knowledge, this is so new, no? Where got teaching like that one? Then it binds and blocks you. That's why knowledge bind, knowledge block. Because knowledge is not wisdom. When you have too much knowledge, you think you know. When you think you know, you cannot learn. Understand? You already know. So how to teach you? Everything that people teach you must be what your knowledge tell you. Understand? If it's different from what your knowledge tell you, you say wrong. Cannot be. See? Because you base it on your conditioning, your views, your opinion. You don't base it on your investigative understanding. You don't have a free mind. You don't have an open mind. For me, whatever I don't understand, I start with square one. Clean slate. I assume I don't know anything. Whatever knowledge I have, I don't want to use them. I look, I investigate what is being spoken. Yeah. That if I can understand it from first principle, then I know this is the truth. These are the teaching that is worth learning, worth developing. Yeah, it points towards the truth. That's why when I heard Krishnamurti's word, it's so different from the Dhamma. But I can understand, because it points towards the truth. Truth doesn't need word. You understand? Truth is truth. How you describe it is still the same truth. Understand? Let's say a painting. If you are an art student, I ask you to describe this painting. Let's say this is the truth. How you describe it? You will describe according to your training, your artistic approach to it. Oh, this beautiful painting. Maybe canvas. Canvas. What? Is it oil painting? I don't know. Well, then they will describe. Then if you Buddhist, wow, this is the Buddha. Understand? Oh, so beautiful. It just gives me faith. But if you are an engineer, non-Buddhist, you look, what is this? You cannot appreciate. But you are Buddhist, you can. Then if you are a true artist, you will comment, where got people's ears so long? Then you describe it totally different. No? It's just like the elephant analogy the Buddha mentioned. If you only touch the tail of the five blind men, then you describe the elephant differently. You touch the leg, the trunk, the body, the tusk, all different. Then like the emperor that sent the four children to the same place over four seasons. All the four of them come back described differently. They saw this, they saw that, they saw all the different scenery. Then the children argue among themselves, no, you are lying, is it? Cannot be, it was there. It's all frozen ice. Then the other one said, no, flowering that time. They don't know it's springtime. So they were arguing. Then the king is very wise. He said, please listen to me. All the four of you reported exactly what you see. That's why this is the truth. It can be the same place, but because there is such thing as the four seasons in our country, in our world. That's why you saw different scenery, different time. So don't just because you see things differently, you come back and report. Then that guy see another one, come back and report. Then you all argue. That's how. Actually, four of them all saw the correct thing. Because you were there under different seasons. Understand? Then there's an English song, Seasons in the Sun. When we were young, we like to sing that song. We love each other since 9 and 10. Something like that, I cannot remember. Angie know the song. Oh, you know, Seasons in the Sun. We love each other since 9 and 10. Oh, God, sing a version. So sometimes all these songs, they have their meaning. Then, like the Mandarin song, Wang Si Zi Neng Hui Wei, that song really hit me, when I was very young. The moment I heard that song, I liked that song like anything. It was so meaningful. For those who don't know Mandarin, Wang Si Zi Neng Hui Wei, whatever happened, you can only recall through memory. Then the starting part also very beautiful. 时光一去永不回. That one very meaning. 时光, like time wait for no man. Once that thing arise and pass by, never come back. And that's 时光一去永不回. So beautiful. The writer of that you call it what, lyrics, it's so wise, so beautiful. Then the other one that described the day one is also quite interesting, but not much Dhamma, is it? What is that already? I hope I can recall. Something like 阳光照过树上，啊，风吹树枝摇啊，这种呀。Is it describe? Is it 风吹树枝摇 ？When the wind blow, the leaves, yeah, of the branches of the tree, they start to move. Understand? Then 阳光照过树啊、，what 啊？树梢啊 ？Is it the sunlight? Shine through that.What the branches and the leaves, something like that. Then something like love at first sight, or no? 不得了，不得了，我一见到你就爱上了。Oh, something like that, or no? Got such song, That's why when I'm young, I English educated, but I like all this song. Yeah, it's so meaningful. It touched every aspect of my being. And it's so beautiful. I don't know about you all, your childhood, but I live my childhood so beautiful. I have a full life. I really like every aspect, every phase of my life. They were so beautiful. Even when I was very young, as I grew up, despite what life and society is, the world is, but to me, this segmented life was so beautiful. Like everything is already set. My nature don't have to do anything. I just accord and flow. Then everything is like already set in place, beautifully set. How did I end up? From there to here, what was it that we were discussing? Anyway, your question you haven't finished. you just started one only. That's a very powerful question. One word, relax, lead to all this dhamma. That's why don't be shy, just ask. Sometimes you don't know what will happen, you just need to set the condition. That's why now NG know. She just want to ask. And she asks with understanding, which is very good. Sadhu. Okay, continue.
I think with the relaxed muscles or whatever matter, right? The matter of body. So we can see things more sharply and then feel things more sharply. So yes. More aware. So,
yeah, because there is clarity. The moment you are relaxed, you don't have tension. You don't have problem. Then you are at ease, like what I wrote there. Yeah? Relax into every mind state that arrives, then you are at ease. When you are at ease, means you are at peace. You are relaxed. You have clarity of mind. You are just aware. And that state is the most beautiful. Do you know why? Because that state, you are without thought. Without thought means no fear, no worry, no anxiety, no sorrow, no lamentation, no problem. Isn't that state beautiful? Beautiful or not? That's why don't go and think. The moment you think, all your problems come. You go and project your thought. You go and recall all those nonsense. Then you worry. Like the whole world is full of beautiful things. You don't know how to appreciate and live. You go and worry. You know how human beings develop worry or not? That is one aspect. But we talk about what other thing they worry about. First, start with themselves. They themselves worry about what? Their health. Health. As you grow old, you worry about your health. Isn't it? When you're young, you worry about your career. Isn't it? Then you worry about your three meals. Shelter. Food and shelter. The essential requisites are not requisite. The essential needs of life. That's why they call it the Maslow need theory. Then after you have basic need, food and shelter, then you look for what? Job security, money, pride, status, then you keep on going up. That's how the Maslow need theory comes about. When that person can't even have food and shelter, you cannot talk about motivation to them. You cannot talk about career, everything to them. To them is food and shelter. You give me this, I will do anything for you. So Dhamma is in a similar way. Yeah? You have to approach it that way, understand? Off that thing, I think it didn't off. No, all. All. Off already. Oh, means this one start to make noise already. Okay. So what happened is, maybe I use that one better. Huh? So what happened is, when it comes to life, when it comes to spiritual things, it's the same. Just like the Maslow need theory. Yeah? If your food and shelter also don't have, you think you got time for meditation or not? Huh? You got time to look for spiritual thing or not? You can't. Isn't it? Your first concern is food and shelter. Then after that, you don't have problem. You think you will come to the temple, look for Dhamma? You won't. Isn't it? You will have your fun. Isn't it? That's why boyfriend, girlfriend get married, then enter into depression, argument. So they say, the first ring you give is engagement ring. Then second ring is what? No. Third one only suffering. Wedding ring, that one must tie you out on, put on your finger on. That one let people recognize you already married. You are not MBA. No. Married but available. The ring say not available anymore, you can only have one. No. Then after that only you realize suffering is the third ring that follows you. Just like Alexander the Pope. He wrote in his book, I love his opening statement. Reality begins after the first day of marriage. That's why I say these are beautiful author. Then they used to have this famous saying in Mandarin, Yao Qing Yam Sui Bao. You heard of this, isn't it? Got love, drink water also can survive. But the English opposite, when poverty strike, love fly out of the window. Oh, they say got love, drink water also can survive. You think nowadays the girls want to marry you just to drink water with you. Then like the book, The Heart, Understanding the Heart and the Mind, I think Pamasuri helped me to translate to Mandarin, I remember. Ngo te kong sam, m kong ngan. You understand? Or? They always try to impress the lady. He said, I am serious. I really love you. I talk about love. I don't marry you because of your money. But nowadays, how many still have that type of sincerity? When they want to tackle you, when they want to win over you, they can promise you the sky. But after the first day of marriage, the reality is strike. A lot of things that you don't know about your partner start to surface. Before marriage, like a girlfriend, boyfriend. When they date you, then when they arrive at your home, you're still not ready. Then they say, don't worry, take your time. I patiently wait for you. Oh, you look beautiful. You are really very beautiful. They're happy, go for dinner, everything. But after you get married, what time already, Some more makeup. Better hurry, quickly. So different again. So when you have a motive to win the war, that mundane mind that has selfishness will try to play his role so that he can win you over. But once the marriage is already registered, we call it registered, means legally binding, not secure. It's still very insecure, but legally binding. They feel that the legal document can give them the right. Then they start to control you and stuff. Then they start to think with you, argue with you and all those things. But now you married already. Oh, they say they have the legal right to tell you off now. But before the legal document, both also very nice. Give and take. That is really give and take. Oh, can, no problem. What do you like? For dinner. After married already. Where to eat? That place. Don't go to this place. So the reality is so different, before marriage, after marriage. But not everybody like that. Those who have the Dhamma is different. Those who have the Dhamma, they are very different. They are not like normal human beings, selfish, doing all this through their deluded thinking, heedless thinking. So, apart from relax, do you have any other question? No? Good. Anybody want to report meditation? Or ask anything? yes. Pass you this one. Yeah, just one.
Yeah, Brother Teo, with regards to the senses, like what you were sharing just now about memories regarding beautiful songs.
Yeah.
Positive songs, beautiful songs. I mean, many of us also, we have this a musical sense, hearing sense, and memory and all that.
Yeah. That's why they say the world of sight and sound.
Yeah.
The thing that you see, the beautiful vibration of music that you hear. So we call it sight and sound. So what is your question?
So my question is it okay to sometimes be in the present while in sati, sambhajana, but at the same time enjoying the memory?
Okay. I know what you...
And you feel... I
understand what your question is driving at. I will answer you. Okay.
Thank you,
Sadhu. I try to stand here. Maybe the distortion still got. Never mind, I use the one then. Okay. You say, this is the part on leaving. A lot of people don't understand this. Luckily, Joseph asked. You talk about memory, like those songs and all those things. For me, because if there is no condition, the memory is still inside there. I don't go and hold on to it. And that's why I don't go and practice it or what. Sometimes I cannot remember. I tell you, I cannot remember. I need you to help me. But some of this, because when I was young, it impacted me so deeply. That's why I no need to remember. Like Dhamma, it just come out. So when you have condition, it arise. You are still in sati. You understand? But when you become lost in it, you use the word enjoy. That is lost in it. Even you go to karaoke, I still remember. 1989, that year when I transformed, connected. You know what happened that Chinese New Year? I got one classmate, doctor classmate, from my hometown. He is very close to me, he is my good friend. And we also Teo, our name is almost matching. I Teo Kian Kun, he Teo Kim Lun. So the Kian and the Kim are also almost the same. Then the Lun and the Kun also the same. So he liked to invite me and my family for New Year. So normally we go for restaurant and all that. That year, he said, I take you somewhere. You know where he took me? KL there is this life center. You heard of it? Huh? Wow, that time karaoke, the music tech, they call it. You know the music, how loud or not, it's deafening when you go in. Wow, that was a good one. No? That one really tested me. You know? I went in, no, because I was fully aware, I was silent. No? And you know what happened to that music, the pounding. And the heart here cannot disturb me, you know. So loud also, everybody was crazy, but I was fully aware. And it was so beautiful. That's why after that I knew, well, like that also no problem. Then what can disturb my mind? Cannot. Then talk to each other also can hardly hear. You have to go very near. It was so loud. And that was the first time I went into such a like they call it life center, music type. And it was really loud. The whole area was really loud. And the music, I don't know what type of speaker is it, so powerful. So when you have that type of mind, it's not a problem. I still remember here, very loud. It just ends like that. End like that. Then doesn't stir anything, nothing. You can think, you don't even have a thought that, wow, how come so noisy? These people crazy. How can they put on the music so loud? You want them to, no. He just went in and so beautiful. And I had this joy because it was a real test. And I was never tested in such an environment. And I went in, nothing happened to me. I came out so beautiful, still in one beautiful piece. And everything was so beautiful. That's why after that, I went out to the private sector and test myself. I go and work for a consultant. I was happily with a statutory body, Ho chia ho kun. You know government servant, hardly need to work on. You know what government servant typically do. Please don't quote me. A lot of government servant not like that. I heard Papa Suri and my wife tell me teacher not like that. But for us, technical people as engineers, we really, but the way I do my work different. Not to say I didn't do, I do. I did a lot. Actually, that workplace, my boss know, put 10 engineers also not enough. But I want alone, I did everything. So what happened was, after I standardized everything, after I have stabilized everything, this is not meditation, stabilized the job, the work to do. I was so free. Every morning I go to my office 1 hour earlier. We start at 8:30. So last time I used to meditate, and I like to meditate, and my mind was very calm, very peaceful. So after that, 8:30, I on the switch, the light. Then my people report to me. Then by 9 o'clock, I'm free. Then I'm supposed to go visit site or what. Then normally, I will go for my breakfast. Then after that, I come back to my office, I read newspaper. Got meeting, only go meeting. No, read newspaper. Then you got friend call, go early lunch. Then come back office, Friday is the best, 2:45 only come back. In this smile. Then you know whatever. After that, 3 o'clock, your colleague will call you tea break. Then 4:30, the bell ring. Can go home. In between, up to me, go to site or what, up to me, where I want to go, up to me. So beautiful. So time can be managed when you have the understanding. But what I want you to understand is, even in the midst of all this, because I make use of the environment. I was with a statutory body, it's a university. The environment is very beautiful. So it's meant to be. Somehow after JKR, they supposed to put me on permanent. Then, because of the policy, I'm from the Kedah state, we are the loan holder, we're supposed to be on permanent. That year, they decide not to put us on permanent, only the scholarship people have permanent job. So my whole state got one scholarship for non-Malay and 9 loan for non-Malay, only 10. So I was the second one, so I got the first loan. So because of that, they were undecided for 3 years, whether to put me permanent or discharge me through contract. So I went and checked. Then they told me, Cikgu, you punya file, kita masih belum buat keputusan. Kita tak tahu nak letak you what, tetap atau sementara. I say, I sudah sementara 3 tahun dah. Normally, within less than a year, they will confirm you. Yalah, you punya case ada hal sikit. Then only I realize about the policy at that time, because you are non-Malay. They don't want to have too many non-Malay engineers there. So because of that, I make one decision. I said, never mind. If that is the case, you put me under contract. I will agree. I take and I go. So they put me under contract. So put me under contract, I got no choice. I got to apply for a job. Then I saw the advertisement, this University of Malaya. I graduated from there. And when I was there, I wanted to help the university where the swimming pool got problem and a lot of other problems I saw. So I applied. They offered me the job. And I was really lucky. You see, as a contract engineer, immediately after my first year, my second year, they back pay me. There is a 5 jump. Instead of every year 60 ringgit jump, I got a 300 ringgit jump. So my salary, second year, I jump until like a five year seniority type of government servant. Really. Then after that, every year, double increment. So first year to second year, I got 5 increments. So like a 5th year engineer, going to 6 years. Then I got another 2 year increment, so 7 and 8. Then that year before I left, I got another increment. So I equivalent to a 9 year old government servant. That's a lie. So I asked for 1 increment more to join them. They approved, no? So I was actually 3 over years on, I went there. My salary was like a 10 year government servant. Then the beauty was, because I was so good, I was there. My boss, super skilled, F, personal to holder. He was cold storage because he made a big mistake. He got a license with a gun. One of the incidents when the worker, I got about 1,000 workers under me. They go and confront him. He took out his gun and fired a warning shot. That's why he was cold storage sent to display. So I took over from him. After I did so well for the first 3 months, they decide to put me straight away acting. They say, I cannot put you acting F. Your F is a super skill F is a personal beholder of him. They say they can start with the first super skill G. So after 3 or less than 4 years, I was the first in my class to be put on super skill G, acting. And as acting, I got a lot of perks. His housing loan, his entertainment. That time is a lot of money. Housing is 350, entertainment is 500, I get extra 850. Then I got allowance tanggungan. That one is don't know 1/3 of his salary or don't know what. Then my basic pay is still there, 10 years. Wow, that time, fat part, man. That's why my life was so beautiful, everything. So when I was there, I realized they call it a madhouse. They cannot handle it. They don't know how to standardize things. They don't have clarity. So I revamped the whole thing. I did a lot of things. Then after that, I standardized all the contract, everything. Then I become very free. Then, every day, how I meditate. I reach the office 1 hour before, then I meditate. Then after that, the daily mindfulness, I did. Non-stop. I did. That's why that I was there for how many years? 6 years I was there. After that, I tell myself, I need to go out to be tested really. That's how my classmate took me to the music center, the life center. Then after that, got conditioned, my classmate, they all came for the new year. Then they say they need a senior engineer, you know, that consultant. So last time he helped me before, so I promised if there's condition, I help him. So everything fall into place. So I just called him up after the new year. I said, you really serious, you need engineer? He said, yeah. I said, I join you. You know what he told me? I cannot afford you. You know, that time he know I was having those pay. I said, you don't worry. When I say I come and help you, means I come and help you. But he very fair because he got one job, a very big highway job, you know, JKL. Middle ring road. So that time, he got no senior engineer. So I know how to do it. I was very good. So I came out, I helped him. Then he checked with me, how much is my total pay? Oh, he said, like that, I can afford you with this project. And because of that, I joined him. Then, that time I was ready, but I was testing my mind. How will this mind behave if it's subject to all the private sector stress and all those things? I went through. That time my mind cannot hold. I cannot remember things. Because the mind, the nature would tell me, you want to suffer? Go and remember. That's why I told you, memory, like computer, leave it inside there. As a random access memory. When you need, you access it. When you don't need, don't access it. Understand? But when you work, you cannot be like a computer. The file is so thick, every project, and you have to remember, because when it comes to variation order, all those things, contractual thing, you need the facts on. So what I did was, I cannot remember, I write it down. I write it down. So that one solved my problem. So because I was so good at that contractual thing, I just read through. Of course, I suffer when I read. I cannot read really. So what happened was, when I was doing my work, I realized a lot of things in the consultant I need to learn. Because this was design. Last time I client, no need to design, consultant design for me. So now I start to learn, but I learn very fast. Then I realize every time I need to remember anything up here, telling me, you want to suffer? You go and use. You want to suffer? You go and use. Then after the end of the day, 9 to 5, full on, not like last time in MU, morning, after half an hour breakfast, read newspaper, full, 9 to 5, non-stop, doing design, everything, calculation, everything. Then you know what happened? End of the day, I sit on the chair, then I check the Monday mind. This Monday mind, that time my Monday mind hasn't collapsed at all, still there. I realized because of what I did, that whole thing inside there, like a circus. You know what is a circus or not? Going round one. The merry-go-round, all those things going on. A lot of activity and movement inside there. Then I say, what is all this? How come still got like that one? Then I just relax, silent. Within less than 2 minutes, everything slowed down. Slow down. Go back to stillness. That's why I know. No need to do anything. Relax, silent, aware, finished. I go back to the same heedful mind, silent mind. Then I'm back to the normal daily mindfulness again. Then I come out of the office, I drive my car, everything so beautiful. And I was with a consultant for 7 years. I just want to confirm that when I come out to private sector, I got no problem. So consultant also say, when I become very familiar, I also no need to do anything. I got time to go for lunch and all those things. I standardize everything. Then my client like me like anything. The Tuan Haji and the classmate, the partner, also like me like anything. First time I went there, that time was recession. After 1987, 88, recession, I think. A lot of people out of job. Then the moment I joined them, after Chinese New Year 1989,
that job bring in so much money, you know. They start to pay bonus, you know, first time. Then double increment a year. They tell me, you don't leave. He said, Mr. Teo, we will increase your pay twice a year. Then 6 month bonus, everything. Wow, I say not bad, private sector. So much better than government department. That's why after that, I went around the whole career path. Then I reached the pinnacle of my career, where I started getting involved with all the major architects and even the what they call privatization, until I deal with all the major architects, even Hijaz Kasturi, we were together. Then all the big five architect firm in KL also were under me when I did CRMS and all those things. So that time, very strange. Then the privatization we did until presentation to the PM's department, I went. Then I was asked to do my part, the technical presentation. That's how I reached the pinnacle of my career. Then after that, I decided to go to the last place that I never go, public listed company. I haven't experienced ESOS. Very lucky. When I went there, market also boom. The ESOS also very good. I make a lot of money from the ESOS. So this is what karma is all about. This is what your dana parami and wholesomeness is all. I realize it follow me. Everywhere I go, the company fatat on. Anyone who hire me, they really make a lot of money. I tell you. Everywhere I go, and the client all like me. So this is what Dhamma can make the difference. This is what Dhamma is all about. And this is what I want you to understand. With Dhamma, you are beautiful. Your life, everything, your career, everything. That's why you go and read my seminar book. I summarize all the things that happened to me. All the things that living being looked for. I even realized the pinnacle of the spiritual path, which very few people can do. That's why all the things that living being ever look forward to, my nature, this life, realize them all. So this is what you have to bear in mind. With the Dhamma, everything is possible. And it's so beautiful. That's why I say nothing to do with luck. Everything just happened, just like that. Then the way you all come also, I never go and look for anybody. All of you, even Suyami Fong, they come by themselves. Although I know them since the university days. The rest of you all, I don't know. How many of you know me? Except my wife, of course, you know. The rest of you all don't know me. You all came on your own. Nobody know me. Anybody here know me except my wife? None. So I never ask you all to come. I never want to know you also. But somehow condition arise. That's why my life, I never do anything. I just accord and flow. My nature just like that. And Dhamma is so beautiful when you understand. Okay, better end. Exceeded by about 7 minutes. Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So I answered you. So don't worry about what people say. This part I think you haven't heard. The rest heard before. People tend to have this funny idea. No? After you enlighten already, you know what they tell you? Cannot have craving, no. So he tell you, good food cannot eat, no. That is craving. No? Cannot eat, pass to me. I will eat for you. As long as you don't attach, you understand now? The Buddha never say you cannot do this, you cannot do that. During the Buddha's time, you think the noble people, the rich people that invited him and the king, you think they give him simple food? They will be given the best, and he ate. But he don't overeat, understand? He don't have craving. He don't compare when he go to another pindapat that time. Wow, the palace one so nice. I think I don't want to pin the palace. I better wait for the king to invite. He never do that. So condition like that thing, so you like you also have joy. Pin the pot also you have joy because you benefited the person who make the offering. So this is what Dhamma is all about. Not the knowledge, the rigid. That's why the unenlightened is trying to tell you how the enlightened one should live their life, which is the opposite. The enlightened one who have that understanding will know how to live their life. Because they know this form and mind is not real, not them. But this one is useful. Understand? This one subject to karma, but it can also live life. Understand? That's why I say live life to the fullest. Like that Heart Sutta say, true emptiness is a wonderful existence. Zhen Kong Miao Yu. That's why life can be so beautiful when you really have the Dhamma. So that part is extra for you. Where you came late, the rest all know already. So you can leave, you don't worry. You can listen to beautiful music, no problem. With clarity inside there. That's why sometimes I can sit at home and with the pure perception, the pristine beauty, everything is so beauty. And I have so much joy. If I can have the means, I can do something for my family, understand? I can spend some useful money to renovate the house and give them what they wanted. It's not pampering them. It's because this is something I can afford and I feel I will do. That's why I bought my neighbor, I renovated, and we have a good environment. And I felt good because as an engineer, I know how all this structure come about, how I did it and all this thing. And there is so much joy. But these are the things that you can do. Then we can travel. Sometimes when there is condition, I also fly business class. Understand? So it's not a problem. Don't go and get the illusion that after you are enlightened already, everything cannot do. Must become monk within a week, otherwise you die. What type of enlightenment is that? Are you so fragile? Don't put on the robe and become monk within 1 week, you will die. You heard of that thing? Isn't it? Okay, enough. So please don't quote me. Although recorded, never mind, in the website. If they want to ask, they can come and see me. But when they ask you, you don't quote me. You say, don't know. You want to find out more, you go and listen, attend Brother Teo's class. Then you ask questions, you can ask this at that time. Like that's safer, because if you don't know how to answer, sometimes you misquote what I said, or you misunderstand what I said, then you quote me wrongly. You may quote the correct word I use, but you don't know how to explain. No? Then you get yourself cornered. Then you get into trouble, I also get into trouble. So we try to avoid unnecessary misunderstanding. But this sharing is for us, among us, not for others. Others is up to them. If they don't have an open mind, they want to get angry, it is their condition, nothing to do with us. You know, we don't meant to have this shared with other people. We're supposed to have it for our internal Dhamma sharing. Then, of course, it's on the website. If they want to listen, they can. But the condition that I put under our website, the reason for our website, the three conditions already there, so that no misunderstanding. The three conditions set out is very clearly defined in the website. No right, no wrong. We are not here to argue. We are here to share understanding. Then we call it a sharing. We don't want it to be a one-way traffic with all the authority and the conditioning. No, you are free to learn. Okay, let us share merits and transfer merit. Then you make your aspiration. Akka Satta Cha Bhumata Devanaga Mahindika Punyantang Anamoditwa Chirang Rakantu Loka Sasana Itta Vata Chamehi Sampadan Punya Sampadan Sabe Deva Anamodantu Sabha Sampati Siddhya Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya teyo. Idang me nyati nang ho tu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyati nang ho tu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang ibimala punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo ho tu yawa nivana patiya. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we end. Thank you. Sadhu.
Saying sadhu three times. Sadhu, sadhu.